All right. Now everything's working, right? We can hear each other. All technical problems have been solved.
Yes.
Good. Okay. That's how you like to start every show, you know, just making sure there's no problems.
Correct.
How are things, Dan? How's work going?
Are we recording or are we just talking?
I can edit this part out if you want.
No, I didn't know if we were. I didn't know if we were recording. Everything's fine.
I was just, just trying to start us off. We'll get a little banter going.
Oh yeah, a little witty banter, little Oscar Wilde wordplay for the fans. No, everything is good.
Awesome.
Yeah, no complaints. I just didn't know if we started or not, so I was going to say something like catastrophic.
Yeah, of course.
Or like, because I was looking at Puckpedia, so I didn't have the. I didn't see the countdown.
Oh, that's so yeah.
That's why I was like, I don't know, is he teeing me up for like something, like, or should I just like, and I was like, let me just ask, because like, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but work is good, the commute is long, but you know, other than that, everything is good.
Good, okay, yes. If they're listening, yeah, you have nothing to worry about, everything is fine.
The kids are all right. The fallout is downstream. We're fine. You know.
Welcome back to Drive to Ants Hockey. Tonight we have a show for you. We're going to get into a team deep dive in a few minutes. But let's talk about some of the news that is sweeping around this offseason. Let's start with the Detroit Red Wings. Pittsburgh Penguins are reportedly selling off what they can from the roster, with the only exception being longtime captain Sidney Crosby. One of the team's most valuable assets is winger Brian Rust. The 30-year-old Michigan native has been a consistent 55 to 60-point producer and has worked as a top-line winger for the Penguins during their dominant run back-to-back Stanley Cups in 16-17. But there's a rumor he's leaving the Penguins for Detroit. What are your thoughts?
I think that this, not only Rust, this is the first time I feel like he's really linked to a team. His name, Rickard Rakell, and Erik Karlsson have been basically, you know, ripe for the picking, so to speak. If you want to make a trade, those guys are available. Detroit, he's a Michigan native, two-time Stanley Cup champion. You could pretty much pencil him in for 30 goals a season. Like, he is a very consistent player.
Sure.
Can play either wing. So that's something that's desirable. Veteran leadership. He's been in the league for quite a while. Knows what it takes to win. He's been there. He's done that. And I could see teams wanting to bolster their top six. I mean, this is a guy who definitely fits that bill. And coming in with 3 years left on his contract at 5.1. So it's, you know, with the way the cap is moving north, that's a very appetizing contract. If it was signed today, he's probably more of a $6 to $8 million guy in that range. So it's almost like, you know, you're getting quite a deal at that price locked in for 3 years, someone who can consistently put up 30 goals.
Fair enough. Why the sell-off from the Red Wings? Why are they cleaning house so much when they had all these people they're getting rid of or are on the chopping block are talented players?
I think what it's come down to is the age of the team. The core is outside the prime age. Yes, you know, Sidney Crosby is not slowing down. I mean, he's as good as he's ever been. He's at the top of his game, point per game player. But I mean, they're older guys, and at a certain point, you have to look at your roster and be like, all right, well, we need to retool. At this point, it's just kind of tearing it down to the studs to rebuild the house. And if you look at their roster, you go to Puckpedia, which I use quite a bit for analytics.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of guys. They don't have anyone really locked up super long term. Everyone, I mean, on their offensive side, Crosby's got 2 years left. Malkin, this is his last year. Rust and Ricard are at 3 years. Everyone else, this is their last year. And most of them are UFAs. So this whole team could be essentially gone next year, aside from Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
And when you look at the defense, you're in another position. A lot of one-year deals left. You got Karlsson with 2 years left, but he's looking to be moved. I could see him gone, you know, relatively soon. I think he's someone who's very desirable if the team can make a deal. Obviously, Pittsburgh is going to have to take on a bit of that contract at $10 million a year. I don't think a lot of people could eat the whole thing. And, you know, yeah, they're just in a position where it's just time to rebuild, you know, and new coach, new philosophy, and, you know, things tend to change. So we'll see what this year leads to, but I feel like this is a very transformative year for Pittsburgh, and a lot of these, like, long-term guys like Rust are kind of victim to that scenario, where it's also giving him an opportunity to go somewhere else to try to chase the cup. Doesn't look like that's going to happen in Pittsburgh this year. I mean, I love the Penguins, where's my favorite team growing up as a kid. Tons of great players through there. Getzel's one of my favorite players. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And
what about Eric Karlsson? Do you think he starts next season playing for the Penguins?
Look, there's 70-something days until the season kicks off.
Yeah.
So that's 2 months and change. Anything could happen. His name is out there. People know what he's capable of doing. You know, he is something that teams desire on the back end. Great offensive defenseman, can move the puck. You know, there's just a lot of things that are very appealing. The problem is he's holding on to a $10 million contract, and a lot of teams may not or cannot take on that full contract. So there's a lot of maneuverability that needs to be done in terms of, you know, how it's going to affect the cap and who's going to buy, you know, not so much buy, but like how much can Pittsburgh take on. They're sitting at $13 million in space. So they could theoretically retain, you know, a portion of that contract and not be in a bad place themselves. It's just finding the right, you know, quote unquote dance partner to make it happen.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to another interesting story that's kind of popped up in the last couple of days is the NHL's growth itself. There's been some back and forth about whether we're moving towards a lot of games starting at 7 p.m. instead of the half hour, you know, to lessen the, you know, work school nights that are preventing people from looking, from, you know, watching as many games. But do you think NHL could be a sport where you watch the league instead of the teams? I know you obviously are, you know, an exception, but like the way we have it structured now with a lot of games on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's hard to watch, you know, every game. It's more about let's pick the game I want to see. Do you think NHL has grown, especially with the Four Nations, to a sport that can kind of be in that, like, let's just watch the all of hockey type thing?
Yeah, I think that's something that can be done. I think it is very much a sport that, you know, a lot of people like players versus teams. And if a player that you like is playing that night, you're going to watch that game. So I could see that. I mean, obviously, regionally, there are people that are dug in. That's their squad. That's who they ride or die with. And that's,
of course,
that's all they're going to watch. And that's fantastic. That's brand loyalty. That's, you know, loyal to the soil, as they say. But there's a lot of places, especially overseas, where you have a lot of these players from all these different countries, where you may not be, you know, from, say, if you're from Germany and you like, you know, Leon Draisaitl or Tim Stützle, you may not be a Senators or an Oilers fan, but you're just watching your countrymen and supporting them. So yeah, you're going to watch the game, even though you may not be fully invested in either of those teams, but you're invested in a player from your country. So yeah, I could definitely see that, where you're watching because it's someone, you know, like in that terms, or just, you just love the sport and, you know, a good game's a good game. It doesn't matter who's playing as long as it's going to be entertaining. And yeah, that's definitely something that I could see. And, you know, not to talk ill of other sports or to critique other sports, but I mean, there's a chunk of the year where it's us in basketball. And if there's not a really appealing basketball game, or if you're not dialed into the NBA, you know, what is your other option? It's the NHL. So we're in a position where, you know, it's a 50-50 coin flip what you're going to watch. You know, let's present ourselves in a manner where we could get the most eyes on, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that last statement. I was a little worried because Four Nations was such a shot in the arm and an eye opener to the NHL. Like, yes, it's popular. You can, you know, sell tickets. You can get people to watch. But then it felt like, you know, there was no sort of follow-up this season to fix that. These games were still Thursdays and, you know, Tuesdays, and then, you know, we had a very very shifty sort of, you know, playoff season, which was kind of hard to follow, and then a very discombobulated draft. So, like, I really hope they come together and figure out what do you think the best thing they could do to make sure they get as many eyes as they can next season?
Yeah, I think it starts with, you know, the fact that they're going to have less preseason, more regular season. I think that gives more people the opportunity to follow. We're going to have the Olympics, which is going to bring more eyeballs. It's going to piggyback off the Four Nations and put it into, you know, a 3 or 4X, because now it's multiple countries versus four countries. So you're going to see even more highlighted players from around the league representing their countries from around the world. We're going to have the send-off, which is something they mentioned right before, which is going to take place in New York City and Long Island. You know, so that's going to be fantastic. That's going to be another way to get more people, more visibility. And there's 84 games or 82 games this year, 84 games next year, I believe it kicks off. You got to play weekday games. You can't have everything on the weekends. It's just, as much as I would love for that to be the case, it would make the season longer, which is already long enough. And because you're taking away 3 to 4 days you're not playing and only playing on, you know, the flip days there. It's just, you know, I think some of the cool things that I am seeing from a fan standpoint is the NHL doing like having more of those, the TBS crew, the TNT crew, like having those guys. So you're kind of creating like almost a show within the game where you're getting the personalities involved. You're making it about an event evening versus just one game, where you're getting that type of commentary and contribution from those guys. So I think maybe more of that maybe will help for those weekdays where you could kind of dial in for a little bit if it's not to you know your team playing. So you know there's a ton of options. I think when we start seeing cross media, where we take multiple things, where kind of with the game being the centerpiece, where you have, you know, podcasters, you have internet personality, you have all those things dialed in, you're kind of creating a different event around the main event. So maybe that's something like that.
Makes sense, totally. All right, so I'm gonna run some names by you, and I want you to tell me if you know what all of them have in common. Kaprizov, Eichel, Connor, and McDavid.
Yeah, that was my fantasy team last year. Went all the way.
That's a good one. That's good.
No, but the truth is they are all set to be free agents next year.
Yep, and not only that, the most interesting part is, as of today, none of them have signed.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure their camps are talking. I think I heard rumors that Kaprizov is going to get like $15
million. Wow.
Which, dude, is worth every penny of it. Eichel is going to get – he's probably going to be between 12 and 14. I think he gets more than Marner because he helped deliver a cup. He's a guy that I think will get more. McDavid, dude, just pay the man his money. Like, whatever you're paying him, he's going to make tenfold in viewership and, like, you know, selling jerseys, selling the game. Like, that's your guy. That's, you know, Edmonton needs to do everything they can to re-sign him. If he walks, oh my God, that is going to be, that's like Gretzky to LA, LeBron to Miami, you know. That's one of those, like, you know, A-Rod to the Rangers, then A-Rod to the Yankees. Like, those big, larger-than-life players going somewhere else where you would never think it was going to happen.
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of other players, too. Like, 2026 free agency is, like, you know, there's going to be, like, billions of dollars in deals being made. Because, like, there's a lot of people. It's not like this year. This year was kind of, you know, Marner – Ehlers, and then it kind of just fizzled out. This one's got the making of like being one of the wildest free agencies in the last 25 years.
That's very fair. I know we're going to get into a deep dive with Edmonton later, but do you think McDavid is going to stick around? I guess next season is going to be the real telling point.
Yeah, next season, I mean, look, next season's going to be the one that kind of, it could be they get over the hump and win the cup, cool, or it's the season that breaks McDavid's back, yeah. And it's just time, I mean, and look, he's there a decade, I think he's going to be 28 this year, 29, still well in his prime, but you know what, it may be that time where it's just like, I need to move on, I need somewhere else, I need to try to do this somewhere else. You honor your contract, and you know, he's been there a long time. And if he feels that way middle of the season, you would think or hope that he'd have the, you know, sense to be like, hey, I'm out. So trade me or lose me for, like, you know, kind of like a Matthew Tkachuk to Florida. Hey, I'm not going to re-sign. So if I think it's in your best interest to trade me, and, you know, I think that's the best move going forward. So here you are, you know?
I mean, it's not going to be an easy road. They're probably going to face the Panthers again. You know, it's...
Dude, if they go back... I mean, look. It's become... If they go back for a third time, it's like a boxing bout where you see someone three times. Where it's like... But the difference is Panthers have won two in a row.
Yep, and their entire core is intact, right? So no one's going anywhere.
That team, yeah. We've talked about them at nauseam here, but like that team could. And I'm saying this with the caveat of teams are going to get better, but at this moment, I wouldn't be surprised if they win the cup another 2 to 3 times in the next 5 years.
Fair enough.
Barring some, you know, they don't re-sign the goalie issue, you know, or someone retires. Or, you know, something happens where it just, you know, the rails come off, which I doubt. This team is so dialed in over the last 3 years. Like, they're locked and loaded. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, if Edmonton runs into Florida again for a third year in a row, I wouldn't even show up. I'm like, I'm out. You know, you guys have fun, great careers. Just send me my Stanley Cup check, and I'll see y'all later. Because Edmonton, like I've said it before, I don't think they've done enough to put themselves in a better place to win, but they are in a place where they can go back, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not saying they won't go, I'm not saying they can't go, I just don't know if they're gonna win. I don't think, I mean, looking on paper, looking at this team, they did a good job filling up their cap. They don't have any cap room left. They're dialed in. You know, I like, and you know, they re-signed Trent Frederick, get a full season of him. He's a very solid player. I like Andrew Mangiapane. Dude could score. I mean, he's got the capabilities of scoring 35, 40 goals. You know, Isaac Howard is a player that, you know, won the Hobie Baker. He's a rookie, you know, after everything, you know, that they've gone through, he's that guy. I like, you know, the way the team is built. I just don't know if it's any better than the years prior. And yeah, I don't think they had either. I forget who got hurt and they didn't have him in the finals. Maybe it was Zach Hyman or Nugent Hopkins. I forget. One of them was hurt, and that definitely takes a toll. But this is the playoffs. This is the way it goes. Like, You roll into battle with who you got, and if you don't have everyone, you just, the next man up mentality has to kick in.
Fair enough.
And then, yeah, on the back end, I mean, I like Jake Wallman. I think the X factor for them is if they're going to get more out of Darnell Nurse. They're paying him $9 million a year, and, you know, I think he's a guy that really has to have that breakout bounce back year. And I mean, look, the last thing I'm gonna say about Edmonton, you got the same two goaltenders you did last year, for better or for worse. Those are your two guys. Unless they are able to make a trade or make a move to bring someone else in, you're rolling dice, ride and die with Skinner and Calvin Pickard. So, you know, best of luck.
Fair enough. I mean, it's looking up. It could happen.
Look, I'm not a big fan of Edmonton. I just, you know, I think the jersey's cool. I like the blue and orange. I just like blue and orange. But, you know, when I look at this team, I just feel like there's always, you know, you take away their two best players, and what do you got? You know, just it just doesn't seem like a cohesive unit. I feel like they're good, not great, but when they're dialed in, they play very well together, and clearly they were able to go back to back cup finals. So, you know, and let's see, maybe a full year of Matt Savoy, Isaac Howard, Vasily Podkolzin, you know, these younger guys coming up, and, you know, maybe turns a page for them. So we'll see.
Fair enough. All right. So that about wraps up the news I have for this week. Would you like to move on to our main story of the evening?
Yeah, we could move on to the main story, which is I did a little deep dive on a team last year that got right to the brink of making the playoffs, but did not make the playoffs
for the fifth year in a row.
Yeah,
frustration's got to be building.
Yeah, they're close. They're a team that's dialed in, though. I feel like they're right there, and that is the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, boo-boo.
Last year, you know, they finished fourth in the division. They were in it to the last week. They played very well. They, you know, we saw a lot of their young players step up. You know, like Adam Fantilli, Kent Johnson making that move into that next level of a premier player. One of my favorite guys, Zach Werenski, 82 points, 81 games, breakout year as a defenseman. He has shown this ability in years past. This year he played a full season, no injuries, no setbacks, and he was a Norris Trophy finalist. Job well done. This team, in the offseason, they added Charlie Coyle, Miles Wood. They did lose Jonathan Rizek, who went to Detroit. They re-signed Ivan Provorov. And, you know, I didn't believe also Dante Fabro, who had a good season for them, coming over in a trade in the middle of the season. So they're in a good place. I feel like they got a great young group. They do have some veteran leadership on the that will help kind of carry them forward, and they're in a great place to make a playoff run. They do have some guys that they do need to lock in. Adam Fantilli being one, he's an RFA after this season. Cole Sillinger is another one who's an RFA, and then the big question mark with this team is Igor Chinnikov, who requested a trade. 24-year-old winger, I guess isn't vibing right with the coach and and went to management's like, hey, I need to get out. I need to move on. So we'll see what happens there. He's a guy with some great upside. He dealt with some injuries the last year, only played 30 games, but you know, when he's dialed in, he's got potential. The year before he had 29 points in 53 games, 16 goals. Maybe he's just needs a fresh start. He was a 2020 first round draft pick for Columbus. Plenty of upside potential, and maybe it's just time to trade him and let him try to figure it out somewhere else and get something back in return. And it's only a 2.1 cap hit, and so plenty of opportunity there. And Columbus is sitting on $16 million in projected cap space, which allows them to go out there, and if they are going to make a trade to upgrade, they do have the space to do so, which is nice. Not everyone's got that nice cushion going into a year.
Yeah, fair enough. I want to bring up one thing that, you know, kind of is interesting, and especially because it kind of pertains to New Jersey. Let's talk about Igor Chinnikov a little bit. Mm-hmm. He wants out of Ohio, wants a fresh start, and it looks like they're in talks for a straight-up trade with the Devils, winger for winger. What are your thoughts?
Who's the winger? Do they mention who the winger is or no?
Hold on, let me see. It does not.
Okay.
He's looking more and more like New Jersey's best option is a third line center.
Yeah, I mean, The Devils have done a good job filling in some depth on their offense, upgrading. I like Evgeny Dadonov. I think he's a solid player. They got some grit in Connor Brown and Cody Glass. So they definitely made some good moves. You know, they got to kind of protect Hughes. He's had some injuries the last couple of years. I mean, him and Jasper Bratt, Nico Hischier, they're big three that they really got to make sure that they got some grit in the lineup to protect those guys. And, yeah, I think adding some more scoring, a third line scoring option, is fantastic. I think Chinnikov needs that place to try and move on. Looking at their roster, I'm not sure who they would really want to part with that will make sense. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't want to speculate. I know, you know, they're hoping for more out of Dawson and Mercier. So yeah. I know he's someone who's been thrown around in the trade ether, so to speak. And I know that he's a possibility. I don't know if that's a lineup for one for one. I think Dawson's got more upside, to be honest. I think he's a guy who could produce more, just needs to give him that chance.
Fair enough.
You know, and he's gotten the chance. I think he just needs to capitalize on the opportunity.
Yeah. Where do you think Chinnikov will up? Like, if not New Jersey, I'm just looking at, you know, articles to kind of stimulate the conversation here. Where else could he end up?
See, there's a bunch of teams looking for more offense and to fill in the depth. I mean, the biggest question mark around the league is who's going to be your second line center. And that's like the player that everyone's kind of looking to trade or move into or hopefully grow within the organization. Looking at their roster right now, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, the guys they have are pretty dialed in. So, I mean, maybe it is Dawson Mercier. You're just kind of like, hey, flip it and run with it. They're both close in age. They both play, you know, similar. One's a left-hand shot, one's a right-hand shot. Mercier's got 2 years left in his contract. Chinnikov's got one. So maybe it's that, or maybe it's a prospect. I know New Jersey's been on a lot of talks about the potential of moving Dougie Hamilton. He's got 3 years left in his contract, $9 million. Good offensive defenseman. You know, he's had some injuries last year, didn't get to play as much, but when he's healthy and dialed in, he is a fantastic option on your team. You know, plays the power play, solid player. You know, and New Jersey's got a backlog of defensemen, so I could see them trying to move him out, get some cap space, and go from there. Because I mean, if you were to take Dougie Hamilton out of the scenario, they got Brett Pesce, Brendan Dillon, Jonathan Kovacevic, Joas Siegenthaler, Simone Nemec, Luke Hughes is an RFA who is not re-signed, and Seamus Casey. They are stacked on the back end. I mean, that's why it's like when people talk about the Quinn Hughes to New Jersey, I'm like, Jersey's gotten a lot of defensemen. they're not hurting for defensemen. So like that trade is would be very interesting who they would get. And I wouldn't take Dougie Hamilton. I wouldn't trade a 25-year-old superstar, top three, top two defenseman for Dougie Hamilton. Like I wouldn't do that if I were Vancouver. Like it just wouldn't make sense to me. Like I would want like Casey. I would want like Simone Nemec. Like I would want some young, up and coming defensemen, first round draft picks. Like I would pretty much like pillage the pantry if I was Vancouver in that scenario. Wasn't the question you asked. Looking at the team, that's what I came up with. But yeah, they're just dialed in, and I think going back to Chinnikov, he's going to be somewhere next year. Very attractive salary hit, cap hit. So like, yeah, he's you know, he won't be there. And they got and Columbus isn't hurting for the young players to bring up. They got Caden Lindstrom, who was a first round draft pick a year ago, who is kind of waiting in the wings. You know, they got a couple other really good guys that are on the up and coming. So like them, you know, losing Chinnikov isn't the end of the world. It's not an oh my god, what do we do next move. They got plenty dialed in. So I wouldn't really I really wouldn't worry. And then maybe that's why he wants to go. He realizes, hey, there may not be a space for me here. And, I have plenty to offer. I want to play. And staying here, that may not be the case. So that could also be another reason.
Well, he also has had, apparently, and I'm just reading another article now where, again, they mentioned the two suitors for Chennikov right now are the Devils and the dumpster fire we love so very much, the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah. And dumpsters we trust. If it's a dumpster fire team, if it's lovemaking with the rolled up dough.
They incorporate the bun.
We incorporate the bun into the lovemaking, Shout out Always Sunny. Hashtag not sponsored, season 18. Check it out now.
So they're saying Chennikov, okay, all the way back to is having trouble with the coaches, apparently. Disagreements, quote unquote. Not going into any more detail than that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the dumpster, the Vancouver Canucks, they're a team that I've looked at this roster extensively over the last couple weeks because their name has been tied to Roslovic, which I think is cooled down. I think he wants a little, which I'm not saying he doesn't deserve. I'm thinking they're a part on the term. I've heard he wants 3 to 4 years. I don't know if Vancouver is willing to do that. So with that said, Chennikov's a good option. They're looking to bolster their core, their middle six. I think he'll definitely do that. I know Vancouver's been tied to possibly trying to get Mason McTavish in a offer sheet or trade from Anaheim. That would be a huge move for them. I could see Chennikov fitting in here. I know they're mentioning trying to move Teddy Bluger, who's a great defensive forward, fourth line guy. I know they're looking to try to find a way to get Atu Rautte into the lineup this year. We'll see how it goes. I know they weren't thrilled at Philip Chytil as their second line center. I think this is a for him to prove himself, to be honest. Full year healthy. Let's see what he could do. He's going to be able to play with guys like Evander Kane and Connor Garland, who are guys who can score 20 goals. So, he's going to be centering a solid line there. We'll see what happens.
Fair. Let's shift gears for a sec here and talk a little bit more about Boone Jenner.
Sure.
Missed, from, I believe, October 4th and did not return until February 22nd. In practice, wow, 56 games. Do they make the playoffs if Boone Jenner was there?
I think they would have a better chance because he is a solid center. He's the leader of this team. He's been there for over a decade, and he's a consistent. Prior to that, he was a consistent 20 goal, 40 point player, who is what you missed that for 60 games and that's a lot. He's the guy who was really dialed in. He does a lot for this team, and he is their captain for a reason. So yeah, I think it would have definitely helped their chances for sure. I don't have to go far as saying guaranteeing that they would have made the playoffs, but their lineup is stronger with him than without him.
Fair enough. All right. Let's one more player I want to kind of discuss. Luca Delbel Belouz. That's a lot of bells in your name.
Yeah, they really wanted to tie up the broadcasters with that one.
He is a rookie forward who is likely to push for a full-time NHL role. In 15 games with 8 points, 2 goals, and 6 assists in Columbus last season, do you think it's time for him to push for the full-time NHL role and be a part of this team? Do you think he could prove himself, or is it one more year in the AHL for him?
I think with that small sample size, he bought himself more playing time this year. Mm-hmm. He had a really good way to transition from you know, the junior level to the pros. He had a great, I mean, you know, 8 points in 15 games, your first 15 games is really strong. That's a good start. I mean, I would like that. I mean, he's someone that he's in their, you know, their farm system for a reason. They got faith in him, and I think he could possibly win a spot in the preseason. I mean, he's a second round draft pick from 2022, you know, 6 foot, good size. And yeah, what I think he's definitely poised to make an impact and at least make people feel less comfortable about their position with him kind of breathing down their neck. So guy, look, he's a center. Look at the team, look at their centers, who's someone who, you know, like a Cole Sillinger, who's an RFA after this year. And he's like, hey, we got, you know, I look at this and I see a guy that could possibly take my spot. You're going to play harder to keep your spot because you know what's behind you. And I mean, this team's dialed in. I mean, they got Kent Johnson, Shane Monahan, and Adam Fantilli as their centers. It's pretty good.
Nothing to laugh at. All right. I mean,
yeah, Adam Fantilli, second year in the league, 30 goals. They got a lot of scoring. I mean, and they're young, which is nice. Like, they're not an older team. They're very well balanced, but a lot of their best players are in their early to mid 20s, like Kent Johnson, Adam Fantilli, Kirill Marchenko, Cole Sillinger. They're all pretty young, which is nice. It's not an older team. It's, you know, so there's a lot of room to grow for this group, this core.
All right, give me the odds. Let's wrap this one up. What do you how do you see them performing? Do you think they'll make the playoffs this year?
I think it's going to be very similar to last year, where it's going to come right down to the wire. I think having both Boone Jenner and Shane Monahan for a full season gives them a better opportunity to make it happen. I like how they brought in Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood, some more veteran leadership to help round out this team. And, you know, they got some really exciting young players. So, yeah, this is a team to watch. I think they're right there. They're on that bubble. And if they could piggyback off of the success they had last year, have what I just mentioned, like, yeah, they could be a wild card team. I don't think they're going to crack the top three, but they're definitely a wild card potential.
Fair enough. That's all I got for my responses to your Blue Jackets questions. Anything else you want to cover?
No, I mean, we got a little bit of hurricane news, Jackson Blake getting an 8-year extension before the new CBA takes hold and they do away with 8-year contracts. So kudos to him. Had a fantastic breakout year this year for the Hurricane, and you know, he got paid, and the Hurricanes are, you know, they're utilizing all that great cap space they had. And the crazy thing is, like, what I love about this whole scenario, they still have $10 million to play with right now.
Yeah, they really do.
And they locked up their core guys, Aho, Ehlers, Jarvis, Cook and Yemi, William Carrier, Jackson Blake, Logan Stankoven. They're all locked up till 2031. And Svechnikov is locked up till 2029. So this is a young team, plenty of upside, plenty of potential. We know this. We've covered them. This is our squad.
Yep.
They're doing everything they can to keep pace with Florida. I think it's really how do we beat Florida?
And I agree. I mean, that's what it comes down to every year, unfortunately, is they got to get past that second round hump. Here's the thing that what I love about the Hurricanes so much is that they seem to get it done without any flashy players. They just play good technical hockey, right? They just come out there and they do, and they have so much space to work with. They just have a plan and they stick to it and it works. It's fascinating. They don't depend on any one person. It's a team effort every single time. And it's insane. And it's like, it's different hockey and I really like it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the one thing that, they don't have a 100-point score. They usually get guys 70, 80 points. You know, they're going to grind you down. They're going to play a very, very controlled game. They have a great system. And the one thing that I look at is the plus minus. How much which is basically, you know, if you're on the ice when you score a goal, it's a plus. When you're on ice when you're scored upon, it's a negative. You always want to be positive. They have two players from last year that were negative in their entire roster in plus minus. Three. Out of the entire team, three people were a negative. So just just goes to show, like, anyone who played, and I'm not counting the people that the young rookies they brought up who played two games. I'm not counting them. I'm talking about the guys on the team that have played, you know, 40, 50 games, those guys. Three players.
All right, let's.
Yeah, cut I'm not this talking about before. The one guy who played one game and got dash three. Like, yeah, that poor soul doesn't count. Yeah.
I'm just saying we should cut this off and, you know, and just bite the bullet and do an episode on the Canes because we're making an episode about the Blue Jackets, about the Hurricanes, which I don't.
Well, you got to get through the Canes. The Blue Jackets got to get through the Canes. So
not an easy task. Not an easy task.
No, unless you're Florida, it's not an easy task. But all jokes aside, I think Columbus, I mean, they had 89 points last year. 91 would have put them in the playoffs. They were right there to the end. You know, they could have made that push. I mean, they almost got it. I mean, I think Long Island is going to be strong next year. I think they've done a fantastic job. So I don't think Columbus is going to pop into the top three unless the Devils or Washington absolutely just fall apart, which I doubt. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right.
Well, that about wraps it up for episode 28 of Drive to Ants Hockey. We are rolling. We are, you know, kind of full steam ahead. So any final thoughts for the crew before we sign off?
Yeah. You know, have fun, enjoy the summer, and stay tuned to next week where we cover a team that may or may not be the Carolina Hurricane.
I think either way we'll cover the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes, it may not be next week, but there will be a week. And we will cover them.
Fair enough. All right, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We'll see you here next week for more Drive to Ants Hockey.